Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Triple Chalice Tarot Presents. Tonight we're going to be discussing something very important to, I think, the reason we're all here, and also to our reading skills as tarot card readers and seers and mystics, which is the differences between ceremonial magic and witchcraft. Now, they're both, I guess you could say they're both European constructs, although you could argue that ceremonial magic started much, much, much sooner and further back, and that witchcraft really has no nationality. But what they're both really rooted in is shamanism. You know, we're talking about a tribal culture that the people would gather around a bonfire or maybe in a hut of some kind and would commune with the spirits, and there'd be some kind of an elder leading it. And so in this way, it was very ceremonial. Now, witchcraft is devoid of that. Witchcraft is basically just practice, and actually the term witchcraft was coined sometime in the 1400s, I want to say, when they were doing the original witch burnings, and it's an Anglo-Saxon terminology that comes from the word Wicca, which basically just means to bend or to shape. Now, ceremonial magic, I guess we could go back all the way to, let's say, ancient Egypt, to Greece, to Rome. All of these different places had their sacred days and their high holy holidays, and definitely worshipped a particular deity in a certain way, and everything had to be just so. So I want to turn it over right now to go to Miss Aluna Odette, my first lovely co-host. What for you is the difference between ceremonial magic and witchcraft, and which one would you consider yourself?
Okay, very good question. Good evening, everyone. So I believe the difference between a ceremonial practitioner and a natural witch, or person that practices witchcraft, is ceremonial magicians are strictly by the books, okay? We're talking about a thing being placed at a 27-degree angle in, you know, Sagittarius. Their chalice is 46 degrees in Cancer. So these sort of important notions and important by-the-book recipes to really adhere to their practice. I feel somewhere in the lines of a natural witch or a person who practices witchcraft is they're very feel. This is a very feeling, empathetic, natural ability. So they can feel the essence and presence of working with the wind element, the sylphs. They can feel the natural essence of working with the water spirits, the undines, so, or mermaids. So it's very much different because, one, you probably won't find a natural witch reading too many books, or if she is reading books, she's taking little bits and pieces. It isn't really, she's not using a whole book to redefine her craft. She's not, you know, and maybe the contrast with a ceremonial practitioner who maybe isn't really practicing as much spells, or maybe just gathering as much information and isn't really using much application. As far as myself, I would say I'm somewhere in the middle. I would say I'm somewhere in the middle, as that I love to gather information. I love to look at recipes for spells, incantations. I am much better at feeling, dancing, sort of the in-the-moment presence with my magic than I am with reading an incantation or citing some passage from a book. And that's just my personal take on it. So, yeah.
Definitely, and I see you on the whole natural magic aspect of it. We're going now to the second co-host, Mr. Tarouk Vishal. Thank you for joining us. again, as always. And I wanted to know what you would consider yourself and what you feel the main differences are between ceremonial magic and between witchcraft.
Well, the differences between ceremonial magic and hereditary or natural witchcraft, I feel that hereditary or natural witchcraft, you know, goes back to the beginning of humanity when, you know, humans started walking, and I think they called it animism at that time, where everything was a spirit. You know, the trees were a spirit, the rocks were a spirit, the river was a spirit. I think that is the, and like you said, shamanism, really, that is the root, you know, of magic and witchcraft. It's the beginning. It's the first spirituality of the earth. I think in every corner of the earth where humans lived, there was a spirituality, a magic in the air, in everything, in the lightning, and instilled the energy that we to this day grasp, because we grasp the energy from the stones, from the river, from the oceans, from the earth, basically, the same way that the ancestors did. So it's a very pure source. Before there was language, before there was books, before there was reading, there was magic, you know?
Yes.
So that's what I see with hereditary or natural witchcraft. Now, ceremonial magic, I feel, is like Aluna said, it's by the books. It's somebody who has read. It's somebody who's clearly literate. You know, back in the ancient times, most people were not literate. So we didn't have ceremonial magicians by the books. You know, it was basically probably scholars or people who were wealthy, but elites who were ceremonial magicians. A lot of times I could think of, you know, those men that wrote grimoires and you know, summoning spirits and things of that nature. So I feel like ceremonial magic is more calculated, more thought of, you know, more preparation is needed for it, more materials, more objects to hone the magic. With a hereditary or natural witch, you are the magic, you by yourself. With a ceremonial, like Aluna said, you know, you have the wand with the inscriptions on it, the robe with the right Hebrew symbols on it, and the Star of David, you know, and the circle has to be pointed, you know, in the west for, you know, spirits of water, the south for you know, left hand path spirits, you know, things like that, which doesn't have to go by, you know, the exact planetary hours and whatever, you know. And as far as me, I consider myself, like Aluna, in the middle, because I feel like I am a hereditary or natural witch by birth. But because I don't come from parents immediately who practice the craft, I had to learn it on my own. But I feel that it came with me in this life when I was born.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you bring in, you know, the fact that you're the first in your line, obviously, that your parents didn't teach you anything, didn't pass anything down to you, and that you had to find everything out yourself. I think when people hear the term hereditary witchcraft, they sort of feel like, you know, you have to have like some kind of a pedigree. Like you have to have like a tradition and a grimoire and this and that and all of these Hollywood elements. When in reality, you know, let's be real here, witchcraft arose because the Romans came through Europe and shut down all of the major magical systems that were in place, the Druids, the shamanic leaders, and they converted them all first to their pagan gods, and then finally to Christianity. So witchcraft is a remnant of that shamanism, but it has no spirituality. I know Aluna said that, you know, you align yourself with the spirits of the earth, and there's a sort of animistic element to it, but witches don't worship anything. That's why in a modern context, we see evidence of Christian witches, satanic witches, you know, pagan witches, voodoo witches, you know, all that kind of a thing, where you can really take witchcraft and apply it to any sort of spirituality or no spirituality at all, as your preferences, versus ceremonial magic, which is deeply rooted in religion, which a lot of the time, and if you go back to like the Zoroastrians, the Templars, the Cathars, the Freemasons, the Thematic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is the most recent, they all had some deity that they worshipped, and they were generally all men because women didn't have that much power. Women weren't permitted to know things. They may have used a woman in a lot of their rites and their services, but the women were not given providence in such a way, and it wasn't really until Wicca started, which Gerald Gardner started in the early 1900s, around the 1930s or 40s, after the Second World War, He purported it to be the religion of witchcraft itself because he said he was initiated into a coven of hereditary witches, and they passed the knowledge on to him, when in reality, all he really did was take a lot of the form and function from the Golden Dawn, from ceremonial magic, and applied it in a witchcraft concept. So the magic that we practice today, the casting of the circle, the calling of the quarters, the blessing of the salt and water, the books of shadows, da-da-da-da-da, it all comes mm-hmm. from him. It all comes from Wicca. Wicca is a new religion, which a lot of people don't do the research, kind of just take it as fact. You have to realize that when somebody says they're a hereditary witch, your family probably wouldn't have even called it a witch. I know in my family, which came over to America from Scotland right when America was made and were fleeing the witchcraft persecution in Scotland, you know, we never called ourselves witches. I didn't know what this was. I came to Wicca, you know, having certain traditions in the family that were very strongly advised that you pass down, like, you know, we eat black-eyed bees to ward off the evil eye. You know, you can't wash your clothes on New Year's Day. You put a broom by the door to get rid of somebody. Like, it's traditions. You know what I mean? It's like these little quirky things that your grandma tells you, oh, you know, make sure you grow tomatoes because you'll never go hungry and you'll never want for money. You know, it's not a spell, per se. Technically it is, because in that sort of a context, everything is a spell, but more so the idea that there's, you know, like Charmed, where it's a family of witches and they have a book that gets passed down, that's Hollywood. That's not reality. I want to touch on a subject that Tarouk actually brought to my attention with a meme that you shared earlier about, you know, a ceremonial magician coming out and they're exhausted and they're this and they're that. I want to ask both of you this question, and then I'll give my advice on it. Do you feel as though when you go into a ritual, any kind of ritual, whether you're doing a more ceremonial ritual or if you're just doing something more freeform, more witchy, do you either of you feel exhausted afterwards, or do you feel tired, et cetera, from calling down energies or invoking deities, da-da-da-da-da? Tarouk, I'll start with you, since you're the one that brought this whole thing up.
Well, honestly, most of the time, I want to say 97% of the time, I'm doing magic very late at night. I'm tired and I'm sleepy already. And I, from reading, of course, have read that it's good to do magic at late at night, and it's good to do it when you're sleepy, when you're tired, when you're in that kind of mental state, when you have sleep deprivation. It's good to do magic because you're in that in-between state where things, you know, you can see things easier, you can hear things easier. So, yeah, I do get tired, and I do get sleepy in the process. My eyes kind of do get tired, especially when I sigil gaze and scry. Mm-hmm. I do get sleepy, but I think that's part of the process of meeting that in between worlds, the crossroads, which is what people call it, when I meet the spirit world, it's kind of like the astral projection, kind of, but still being awake.
Yes. What about you, Aluna? What do you say? Do you feel exhausted after you do a working? Do you feel energized? Like, what's normally your feelings afterwards?
Going right off of Tarouk, psychologically, it's about putting your mind into the state of state. So reaching that place of sort of where the room that you're doing the working in becomes a bit of a blur. It doesn't even become your room anymore. And usually when I do my workings as well, it's pretty much late at night. If it's any sort of morning spell, then maybe it is something to revitalize me, regenerate myself, or put up a barrier or something of the sort to go about the day. But usually my workings are done at night. It's the best time. You know, you're in a more relaxed state of state. And in the process of performing, I would say if it is a ritual, a highly concentrated ritual that needs many things, many candles, tools, anointings, you have to sage your room first, you have to call the corners, you have to sit within the circle, that does take time, and meditation can be the hardest part of any ritual, believe it or not, even though it sounds like the foundation step, it can be hard to center yourself and reach into that place and begin your working. But I will say that after it is all said and done, I'm usually very wiped and ready to go to bed. So, yeah, I definitely find myself pretty much wiped out and tired and drained with whatever working that I'm doing. So,
I like that you touched on, you know, that we do ritual to bring us to a different level of consciousness, and you touch on the meditation and everything. And I really want people to realize that when we're doing ritual, it's not to just appease the gods, you know, which is what a lot of the pagans in the old days thought. You know, that's the whole purpose they did ritual. When you do ritual as a spiritual person, as a mystic, as a magic practitioner, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to take yourself out of the mundane world, the day-to-day, where you are whatever your regular name is, and you become something else, something more, something in tune with the forces of the universe, and that can call it down. That was
Absolutely.
The basis of ritual to even begin with. A lot of natural witches, or people that consider themselves natural witches, don't know anything about ceremonial magic or Wicca, etc. They're able to do this just by, you know, praying, or, you know, I had an aunt once that could sit there with a Bible and read from the Bible, and then sure as shit, a month later, ba-bam, something came up that she would want, a job, or, you know, somebody to stop gossiping about her, or what have you. So it really is, like Aluna was saying earlier, it's a feeling. Witchcraft is an art. There's no right way, there's no wrong way. You can use a remote, you can use car keys, you can use a stone that you found that you like. It's free form, without rules, without guidance, without anything. Which is why I get upset when people talk about the Wiccan read, because that applies to Wicca, not witchcraft. Versus ceremonial magic, where it is all rules. There is no room for interpretation. This candle has to be this color. Your robes have to be that color. They have to have this wording on it. You are only allowed this information after working this long in it, and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very dogmatic, which works for some people. Some people need that formula. They need that law of cause and effect. Now, the reason I asked about the energy thing, because this is also a very common misconception. You should not be exhausted after you do ritual. Yes, if you're dancing and jumping around, if you're, you know, practicing a more ecstatic form of ritual, which I've also done and works very well for me, obviously your body's going to be a little fatigued, but energetically you should not feel drained. This comes from using too much of your own personal power. When you're working magic, especially grander magic or magic that you're trying to work on a much larger scale, you have to be sure to ground and center yourself first, and then call down the energy from the atmosphere, from the earth, from the stars, from the stones, wherever you draw inspiration from. If you're coming out of ritual and you're feeling fatigued, or you're feeling wiped out and you're just exhausted, it means that you used up too much of your own energy source. What I like to do personally when I'm working magic is I see myself rooted to the earth, and pulling down the stars and forming the stars into a sort of energy ball, and then working that however I desire, depending on whatever the working is. And then afterwards, I'm still left with that residual energy coursing through me. So a lot of the times when I come out of ritual, I'm actually much more energized than when I went in. Or I have some kind of source going on that keeps me going until I can crash, or until, you know, I can eat something or center myself physically on this plane as well. Now, going back to the debate between the two, which do you think is stronger? Aluna, we'll start with you.
Well, I think when you think about ceremonial magic, you think of high magic. Okay, so ceremonial magic is the type of magic that I feel has been used throughout the ages to bring down countries, okay, nations, castles, thrones, kingdoms. So, you know, in a lot of ceremonial rituals, we see multiple different titles and multiple different placements for different people, or different people that are part of the ritual to take part in. We have the listener or the orator. We have the high priestess. We have the one that is centered, the one that is mounted. And usually when you think of ceremonial magic, it is used to call down a primordial deity, a primordial energy source.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that does take a great deal of energy, a great deal of working, and a great deal of personal power, personal experience. So I would
mm-hmm.
say, but the con of being a ceremonial practitioner is that, you know, you're not really a practitioner on the fly. So on the contrast with a more natural witch, she is feeling, you know, so she can probably cast a spell in the moment. She can call about energies or, you know, call upon her shield, call upon, you know, whatever working or experience things that she has under her belt. She can call those things more quickly. She doesn't need to be seated within a circle. She doesn't need to be facing
mm-hmm.
the east. She doesn't need, I mean, these are all sort of beneficial to her if she knows and understands the power behind it, but it's not really necessary. So they both have their pros and cons, and I would say the con is with a hereditary witch is, yeah, she is only a single source. Yeah, she is only that single focal point. So her workings might not be as powerful as a ceremonial practitioner or calling down a ceremonial ritual. So, mm-hmm.
Okay, so you say ceremonial magicians are stronger.
In a fight, I'd say the hereditary witch would win. I think the hereditary witch would win. But in a great deal of time, in a fight, in a battle, the hereditary witch would win. But in a war, the ceremonial magician might win. So I guess they both have their pros and cons. I'm going to stick
Definitely.
In the middle with that one.
Okay. Taruk, what do you say? Which do you feel is stronger?
Well, I feel that they both are. I feel it depends on the individual magician, on the individual witch. I feel it depends on the confidence level. I mean, it's kind of like thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, two people, it's like the same destination but using different routes. Or like if, you know, you want to go to McDonald's, but it's like a lunatic's one highway and I take the other one, she may get there in 11 minutes and I may get there in 8. We still get there in a reasonable amount of time, but, you know, we use two different routes to get to the same destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, magic
mm-hmm.
is magic. I feel it's about the individual. Now, I feel like the natural witch, on the other hand, you know, she has herself as the magic. I feel the ceremonial magician, he needs the tools. You know, he needs to have things correct. He needs preparation. He needs time. He needs to get himself in that magical space. He needs to get his mind and spirit ready, whereas the natural witch is already there. She can instantly access the powers that run through her, that she's confident in that. I feel like the ceremonial magician has needed the strictness, and he's needed the rules and the guides and all of that to build up the confidence, because accessing them without anything, with just the knowledge of the universe or the Akashic records, you know, flowing through his mind is not enough. He needs
right.
direction. He needs a book. He
mm-hmm.
needs a guide. He needs somebody to strictly tell him. So I feel like it really depends on the individual. The witch and the ceremonial magician who knows their ish, they're both, of
mm-hmm.
course, to be reckoned with, and they both are powerful, and they will both get the stuff done. You know, whatever they need done, it will happen. Personally, I feel so. I think both. I think it depends.
So you're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. Yeah.
No, and I think that's the accurate statement. Witchcraft itself has been influenced by ceremonial magic at this point, that it is sort of like a hybridization of what we generally consider witchcraft to be and what ceremonial magic is. Generally speaking, ceremonial magic, you need a full group to help you, or you have like a lodge or an order that you're a part of and you all get together, and that's when you work the bulk of your magic, versus a witch who is generally more solitary. Witches may join covens or traditions or what have you, but for the most part, you know, witches, we are solitary. We prefer to be on our own. We work best that way. Because usually if, you know, I want to do a spell this way and, you know, Taruk wants to do a spell that way, it can be very difficult to work those energies into alignment in a non-ceremonial context. And I'm going to also agree with Taruk again and say and quote the Native American proverb about talking about, you know, how good and evil are two wolves within a person and, you know, which one wins, the one that you feed. So if you feel that natural magic and natural witchcraft is more your calling, then that's what you're going to be stronger in. If you feel that the formulas and the group workings and, you know, the higher entities that you're going to be dealing with is more your calling, then the ceremonial magician is going to be more your speed. And then, you know, I think most people fall somewhere between the two. I think there are very few people that do exclusively one or exclusively the other. I think we've all kind of said that we're, you know, somewhere in the gray area ourselves as far as all of that goes.
The hybrid,
but
the, right.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the magic that we practice today has been evolved so much from what it started as, from, you know, just people sitting around a fire to the animism, to the fetishes that were developed, et cetera, which a fetish is a poppet, by the way. I know fetishes, most people get the wrong idea. It's a little representation of an animal or something. You know, and then taking that all the way to the present day. So when you're working magic, you're working an inheritance of the earth. So even if you are, let's say, the first witch in a line, you know, you're still tapping into your ancestors. You're still tapping into, you know, that spirit itself. And some would even argue that Akasha is the magic. The spirit, the fifth element, is magic itself. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I definitely do. And I want to say, you know, we all have ancestors who once practiced the form of magic. You know, our ancestors were not always monotheistic Christians or Jews or Muslims. You go back far enough and they were pagan. They did rituals. They casted spells, okay? This is part of our inheritance and part of our bloodline on this planet.
Right.
We
right.
have the magic in us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So never forget who you are.
Right, absolutely. And just to sort of contribute to that, about that being the hybrid and magic just sort of evolving into such a hybrid. And there's so much information and there's so many different sects of magic. As far as, you know, you have chaos magic, you have, you know, satanic magic, you have elemental magic, you have psionic magic. So the branches still meet at the trunk, okay, and they still go down into the roots, okay, that are centered into the earth. So that's definitely important not to forget. There's not too much of a difference between the two, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I think Aluna summed it up perfectly. We are at the end of our show. This was a very necessary show, in my opinion, that we all needed to make. So thank you all for joining us and listening to us this night. Do you all want to close up with anything?
I just would like to say good night, and if you guys would like to listen more to our shows, we do have an archive. You can find us at Triple Chalice Tarot or Tri Chalice Tarot on Twitter to keep up with our feeds. And, yes, Aluna wishes you good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.